Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jos Ogunige, Will Bluewater, a 7th grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evenings and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. As Bluewater, 7th great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
And this is your host Amnesiac here. I can't remember who I am, and maybe I will after the show is over. But this is Bluewater, and we are live and hopefully well with Charmaine Bassett Trim as our guest, and Mark the Badger Borcherding. And of course, you would know I wouldn't have his. Oh, there it is. Yes, we have to have that. And we also got. Hey, who's calling in from area code 419?
My name is Rob.
Okay, Rob. Good deal. And let's see. Did you have a question you wanted to start out with, or do you want to join us for the whole show?
Yeah, I'll listen. I was kind of informed of it last minute, but I would like to listen as long as possible.
Oh yeah, you can. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Let's see, Mark. Are you ready to Charmaine's Mayan birth reading? I'm really with it tonight, as you can tell. Just woke up from a nap. I'm not high.
Sure. Yeah.
Sober as a judge. Just a sleepy old man. I wish our judges were sober in this country. If they were sober, they wouldn't be trying to run it. Gee. Yeah. I guess Charmaine's going to be talking about CBDs tonight. So anyway, yeah, Mark, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Well, a traditional day count, she was born on a date called 12 Chuen or 12 Bats. And that's in the 12th day of the day of Howl cycle, the cycle of the sun. So that has some overriding energy on it. And the 12 number kind of indicates a strong energy, especially as it relates to spiritual catalyst type of thing, you know, causing reactions, especially reactions that have to do with the bat's energy, the Chuan and bat's energy, which is the things having to do with time and the weaving of time and history and humanity and stuff like that. So that particular glyph is also one that shows up in the Mayan Popol Vuh book, and it's also the one that that symbol also is the day associated with the Mayan daykeepers when they start their initiation ceremonies for their daykeepers. So that has some, hence the color would be blue or black, so it would be in the west, the direction of the west. So things about basically, you know, spiritual changing of things and destiny and time and the weaving of history and stuff like that. So that, you know, she may have some ability to affect things that way. Now, if we go over and look things a little bit more from the sixth sun perspective, we'll do a forward flow.
So wait,
backwards.
What perspective?
Sixth sun. This is another Vulcan. So this next part I'm going to get into is more from the perspective of as moving between world cycles. Like right now we're like in the fifth sun, getting ready to go to the sixth sun. We'll know we're in the sixth sun because we'll go through the period of darkness and then the sun will be gone and then you'll see it again. And when you see the sun again, it's the new sun. And it'll be the sixth one according to Mayan tradition. In the Hopi, it's the fifth world. So we're going fourth world to fifth world or fifth sun to sixth sun. So this part of the reading is going to be from the perspective of the sixth sun. And it's going to have two time flows, forward and backward, from our perspective. You know, the forward going forward and the backward looking backwards towards us in time, and where these two time flows come together and unify. So there'll be three components here. The first part on the forward flow is a 12 of Howl, and that's also the sun energy that we saw you connected with earlier. And it's going into things about enlightenment, teaching about life, things that, you know, give you courage and strength, things about community. It's connecting into, and with that community has aspects of just, you know, things of fearlessness, of reason, and also justice, you know, getting justice in things. So a lot of things about community and having things be right, you know, and teaching. So I would not be surprised if these type of things may have been with you your whole life. You could have been even teaching some people back when you were a kid.
That's funny because I actually was, so.
Sounds like a Sagittarian.
you nailed it.
Now on the backward flow.
I didn't hear him say when you were born. What month?
September. September
15th,
1960.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So you're a Virgo. I got you. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So on the backward flow, this is looking more from the perspective of looking from the next world cycle back into our sixth world cycle. And these things you may have noticed getting stronger in your life in the last few years, maybe going all the way back to, you know, 1997 or even before that. And this one is things about just being, will, purpose, discipline, forming things. Dimensionality, things with Creator here, all this stuff working, this will and purpose and discipline and all this going in, linking into Creator in terms of things having to do with the present moment, harmony and charity, heart energy, you know, all that kind of stuff. Some things coming in here too about light, especially a radial spiraling light, and a green color. This is a green energy, so like heart chakra energy, or the top, you know, of a pyramid. You know, they measure the light coming out of that apex of a pyramid, and it's usually green frequency. So, and now in the Mayan tradition, that green is also the color of the medicine wheel. So a lot of things here showing up where, you know, it looks like really getting a connection with Creator and having a purpose, a discipline to it, and moving forward and helping people out and forming things. A lot about that. Now, where these two come together, they create like a bridge or a doorway between the cycles, and that gives you an idea of things that are there that help you in that movement going from one world to the next. And it's about influencing things, unifying things, especially things that are wisdom, you know, all kinds of wisdom, ancient wisdom, current wisdom, and that. So a unification of things. So I wouldn't be surprised if you've already maybe started doing some of that. And that has a purpose. It has a purpose of using free will with the wisdom and opening up pathways. And these pathways are things that are actually good for everybody. So you probably have been feeling a lot of desire and movement to pull things together and include, you know, basically the whole universe. And it also has some energy here of Khan, which is its glyph looks like a symbol, looks like kind of a seed going in the ground. So Hopi and Mayans would probably normally think of that as a corn seed going in the ground. And it's about, you know, flourishing crops, prosperity, and also a little bit about awareness. And it's bringing in some of that sun energy, too. So a lot of things here in your thing is connecting into the power and energy of the sun. Awful lot here on that. And
yeah,
lot about,
I heard you say sun a lot.
Huh?
I said, yeah, I heard you say sun a lot. Love the sun.
Yeah, it's, well, there's probably a more to it than a lot of people think. And you can look at it in terms of also the sun's relationship in all the other, with all the other star systems, too, how they're connected together. Some of them, in some of the things you hear, they'll talk about how the stars literally have, like, light tunnels weaving and connecting them all together. And that some people apparently have the ability to go, you know, what we would probably call out of body or consciousness or whatever you want to call it, and actually you move through that, go from one star to the next, moving through their energy circuits or their connections.
Yeah,
and
I actually
so,
had one of my really big mentors said that he came through the Great Central Sun and that it's actually a wormhole. So that's interesting that you said it like that because it kind of resonates with a lot of his teachings, really.
Yeah. Did he say which central sun it was?
Ours. He came through our sun to get here from the 13th
dimension.
From the 13th dimension. So I just found that interesting because the way you said that, I've never heard anybody say it like that.
So, well, I would suspect
that's cool.
That
I don't often get to say that to somebody that I never heard that before. That's cool.
Well, you'll find that the more you are opening up your pathway and helping others and stuff, I suspect you're going to learn more about how to do that yourself.
Yeah, I've been working on that my whole life, ascension and levitation and all that, but it seems like I get boggled down with doing all the other stuff you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
I swear you read my bio and you know me. Something like that, anyway.
Well, have you ever talked with Red Elk?
No, actually, I haven't.
Oh, Red Elk. He's taught all about. He's real ill right now, but he's taught for years about levitation and all kinds of stuff. He used to be on, you know, Art Bell and Coast to Coast on a regular basis, and.
Oh, those are always fun shows.
Yeah,
those are good ones.
Well, you could join the Native Prophecy Council on Yahoo Groups, and Red Elk teaches on there, and that goes for anybody out there that's listening also. But, yeah, so...
Sounds very interesting. Yeah. Sounds great. Love
go
to
ahead.
Learn. I'm an addict. I'm an information junkie, they call
yeah,
me.
Yeah, me too.
Encyclopedia.
It's the endorphin rush we get from being on the Internet all the time.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't have to just be the Internet. I've, you know, pretty extensive. I read somewhere between 4 and 40 books a month. So
books, cell phones, whatever, something different.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just
you probably had a little.
Just load me up.
You're probably got riddled with ADD like I was when I was a kid.
Oh, you know that would probably be a blessing. I think I'm even beyond ADD at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, that pretty much sums a lot of it up.
You're missing something. I just know you are.
He'll figure it out.
I know you got a big bag of tricks going on there. Come on, pull something out.
And
well,
the other thing
is probably look and learn a little bit more, a couple of things I can share that might give you some guidance or help. One is to learn... I'm still here?
We're here.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I heard a click or something.
That's the NSA. Oh,
anyway, in the thing on Hunab Ku, the creator, and that linkage there, that, if you look at their definition of that, that's the one giver of movement and measure. So that's something you might want to learn, look a little bit more into.
Probably why I loved dancing so much, and dancing was a passion of mine. And I had several dance companies. That kind of fits right up that alley. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
And then the other thing coming up is things that might be on the lookout for things that have to do with caves.
Caves?
Yeah.
Never heard that one before. Kind of, what does that mean? I'm confused.
Good place
there.
To get a vision.
Good place to what?
Get a vision like the Stalking Wolf did.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, it's a... I'm trying to go back and see.
It's like going in the womb of Mother Earth.
That makes total sense. Oh, really?
Sounds so
interesting. Wow.
I lived in I had a friend that blasted five homes back into a piece of sandstone that was like a quarter mile long by 400 foot tall. And it looked like a giant turtle making a left-hand turn. He leased a square mile out in the Utah desert, 22 miles south of Moab. And he had five homes back in there, and we rented one for about a year and lived back in there. It was a trip because they turned all the electricity off at night. And you could hear the quartz crystal just singing in there at night. And I could hear volume spikes. My wife could hear, I'd have her intone what she was hearing, but I could actually hear volume spikes. It was weird. Man,
that
we
would
had a lot.
Be so amazing.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. It's red rock.
I used to sleep inside of a very specific pyramid, and it was, you know, the dimensions were specific, and then what I did was I had reflective material on the outside, so truly I was just getting real information in the evening. But the problem with that is after I did that for about a year, you know, when you had to, like, step out of that womb, which would be the closest I probably got to what you're talking about, when I had to step out of that womb, you know, and I was getting downloaded with the truth and there was no interference, and I'd walk out into the world that we live in now, and the bombardment that would hit me, at one point I thought I was literally schizophrenic. I mean, the amount of you just to qualify both of that heavy burden that comes when you step out of the womb and the indoctrination and the download being so overwhelming, I had to stop doing it because it was too extreme for me. It was a little too extreme for me to do on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So I just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why holy people, most of them wear hats and or long hair.
I get that. Should I wrap myself in aluminum foil? I've heard that works really well.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah,
I'm
for whatever works. Yeah, I'm for that, too.
But I was going to say, if you stayed in there much longer, you'd probably stop aging, too. Because they've proven it. You take
Did you see my picture? I'm actually 224. You didn't see my picture? I'm 224.
Oh, no, no.
I'm doing pretty good.
I know you can make a razor last forever because, you know, when you shave, you know, you get little nicks in that little tiny. The pyramid actually realigns the crystalline steel, and
you obviously didn't read my bio because we've had, you know, health food stores for almost 50 years, and we sold pyramids forever. There's actually a world patent for a styrofoam pyramid that you can put your razors in and keep them sharp forever. Yeah, we used to sell stuff like that. Pyramids are amazing.
What I had to do is I copied your bio, but I had to cut off like the bottom half because there's only had a certain number of characters
I know, and my bio is like, and that's reduced.
That's a good bio.
Well, again, information junkie, you know, that's not even the half of it, but it gives people a general impression, I guess.
You think that's bad? You got to look at my LinkedIn page. Oh my god.
Okay. we kind of crazy with all that stuff, you know.
It's all hanging out on my LinkedIn page. You gotta see it. It's like my life story from day one. Oh yeah. Jeez. Give the NSA something to run with.
Yeah, well, they love to run with things. There they are.
Are you kidding me?
My phone's been tapped for three generations. You know, I can't get away from it. Yeah, there they are. Yeah, it's me, Charmaine. And here's what my dad always told me. I love my dad. My dad was my inspiration, both my mother and my dad. I consider my mother an angel on earth, and she is by far and away one of the most amazing human beings I've ever met, and I love her mentality. Hey, wake up, give it your best shot. When you go to sleep, you know you gave it your best shot, and try to do better tomorrow. That's all there is, and nothing else matters. And that's a beautiful thing. My dad was a butt kicker. He's the reason why, you know, he was so involved in legislation, because you can't own a health food store for almost 50 years without having to fight legislation, because they don't, even though our industry, the health food industry, is actually smaller than Coca-Cola, we have so much impact because we have such big mouths, and we're such information junkies, and
where do you
we
live?
Realize the importance. Toledo, Ohio, if you can believe that. Toledo, Ohio.
Well, my first cousin has one up in right on the Long Island Sound in Connecticut. Her name is Jenna Anderson. And,
I want to hear this too.
Oh, yeah, she testified to the Congress.
My dad was the president of, it was at that point called the NNFA, the Natural Nutritional Food Association. And they never did two back-to-back presidencies, but my dad, because he was so instrumental, because he was such a go-getter, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're overwhelmed, what do you do? My dad had no question what he had to do. And he knew, and he just was so nose to the grindstone that he managed to accomplish so many amazing things. I mean, sad things, too, because, like, he's the one that created GMP, Good Manufacturing Practice. He did that because he realized that an industry that doesn't self-regulate will always be overtaken. So he created this so that we had our own, you know, guidelines, which were very, very high and very, very ideal and beautiful. And then, you know, if you were going to manufacture products for our association, we got to go in and check your facility and see what you're doing and say it's okay and pull products off your shelf and test them. And it was a really good thing. And then he also created organic, you know, what now the what is it, the USDA has taken over, and it's really, really sad because my dad started something really, really critical for the health of the nation, which was organic farming and its impetus and its ability to be able to be distributed, because organic gardening is actually way cheaper than the, you know, the pharmaceutical end with all the chemicals. The problem comes down to distribution. People don't know they should be buying it, so it's only a few farms that grow, and then you have to transport it. And then the problem comes down to that the vehicles that would be the transporting apparatus to get the end product to the consumer was such that it was loaded with chemicals. And so, you know, the standards were set up to such a high and beautiful extreme due to necessity that it was things of the nature of, okay, if there was a non-organic plant transporting this in the last 60 days, we can't transport organics in there because the residue is still there. It will get on the plants. They are no longer organic. So my dad created this paradigm, which was really allowing the consumer to differentiate between, you know, what constitutes organic and what constitutes, you know, it's organic, but it's been blasted with fumigated on the way to the store. You know, I mean, really, come on.
I mean,
that just kind of defeats the whole purpose, and that's what's happening right now. And so, you know, my dad created it, and then, of course, the EPA and the FDA and all these other wonderful agencies that are not really the government but are independent LLCs, corporations, design corporations do what they're trying to make money. You know, they've watered that down to the point to where you can actually buy a food, an organic food, that's 30% chemicals. I mean, give me a break. So it's just, you know, and you watch this stuff and you sit back and you don't get mad, and you try to be proactive, but every time you get smarter, they get better. And every time you get better, they get smarter. And it's just, it gets so overwhelming sometimes. So, you know, you say all these great things, and yeah, but the day-to-day activity to try to keep the information straight, filter through it, and then spit it back out in a tangible form where someone doesn't think you're a total lunatic gets very discouraging sometimes, as you well know.
Hey, do you know Dr. Hildegard Steininger?
No,
Hilde,
I don't.
Dr.
Should
Hilde?
I?
Hilde,
no, do not.
Robert Ghostwolf's widow works with her. She's one of the world's experts. She's a physician on contamination, that kind of stuff. She's got a regular show on Blog Talk also. I'm going to put you in touch with her. Hey, listen, before we get too far on the show, we have three people that have called in. They have questions. Let's take their questions. And,
yeah, but
then
you know,
we'll
those questions are going to be about probably CBDs because I have my own repertoire of people that I contact. And
okay.
To make this a good show, I wanted to make sure that there was going to be good questions
okay.
asked about CBDs.
Well,
and I'm 99% sure that that's what they're holding for, and we haven't even
yep.
gotten. God, we got way off the beaten track.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, okay. Caller, area code 419, what's your question? 419-708.
Sure. I had questions about the CBDs and as to why they cause people to be tired. I've talked to about four different people, and the product I'm talking about didn't come from Charmaine, but it was a CBD in a drop form, but it did cause these people to be tired all the time. And what would cause that, and what could you do to alleviate that? I'll listen.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you know what strain they're getting their CBDs from?
No, I don't.
Yeah, but you know what? It goes much further than that. So,
I'm just
you know,
curious.
That's why I really wanted to open the line up on discussions. I was really trying to get up, although I was so interested with that reading, and I still want to hear more. I'm being selfish right now. I was like, boost my ego. You know, and I'm not about ego, but it's kind of cool to hear that. It was actually
okay.
in my charts, and I'm just fulfilling my destiny.
Well,
God,
listen,
you almost hate to hear that.
Let me
say something. I really wanted to talk about CBDs tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Now, listen, people that are calling in, if you will get everybody in your room to be real quiet, I'll open up everybody's mics. And if there's people washing dishes or talking, or if you're watching TV or something like that, we'll have to mute your mic. But there's another listener there, 734-731. And here comes 419-841 and 419-810.
That's my mom. Yeah.
Okay, sounds like everybody's behaving. So, okay, everybody's
mic. Oh, but you know what?
Hot.
If not, I can spank them all. They're really close, so I can spank
okay.
them. I got whips, too, you know, and
okay,
duct tape, so it works real well.
We're all on the air together.
All right, so I just wanted that, you know, I was really happy that you invited me here, and I just want to say that, you know, you are a brethren of mine. And that is because you are an Oklavah Native American church. And, you know, we have to give kudos to James Mooney because he stood on the front lines with a huge target painted on his back to fight for not just indigenous cultures, but for the rights of all man and the ability to live and let live and to do what's right and to do what has been a tradition for thousands of years. He fought for that right and almost lost everything and came out ahead. And now what he's done, because he's such a generous soul, is he's taken that opportunity and passed it on and has allowed people like you and me, because we are both branches of Oklavah Native American Church, to pursue, you know, these important points of interest for not just health, freedom, you know, rights, marriage, you know, yada, 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 on and on and on. But, you know, he makes it in an available and ready form. And then it just comes down to education at that point, as you well know, which is why now I'm going to move forward to you that you have this radio show. Because without the radio show, we can't get the information out to get people up to speed on what we're about and what we're really working towards. Now we're going to fast forward to me. And, you know, I've been doing, you know, freedom fighting for years. It's in my blood. My dad's the one that got me used to it, and it came through necessity because you don't own health food stores and practice natural medicine without literally fighting for your rights every single day. So you have to learn how to protect yourself, which is a shame, but that's the way the world works. So, you know, you got to play the game. And then, of course, I'm always out there teaching classes. I have a university, have two health food stores, have a health spa, naturopathic clinic, and then, of course, up comes the issue of, you know, CBDs, cannabis. And I'm somebody who, you know, I'm from the 60s. You know, you did my reading, 9-15-60. And I'm the aftermath of that, you know, hippie era where, you know, oh, getting high is the cool thing. And, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. When I was in my teen years, I tried marijuana, and I got to tell you, I just never liked the high. It just didn't work for me. And yet, fast forward now, here we are. We're in 2014, and cannabis is all over the headlines. But before we go to the headlines and why they're so important, we need to actually back up a few steps. And I'm not going to get the date right, but the concept's going to be correct. And the United States government walked in at a point where the United States actually required farmers to, you know, set aside so many acres for hemp. You know, President Lincoln used to sit on his porch at the end of the night and smoke some cannabis, looking at his hemp fields, and cannabis could replace, it had 50,000 uses, if you want to call it cannabis or hemp. You know, right now there is a defining line with that that I absolutely want to discuss. But if you took, it's the same plant, and it's a weed, and it grows everywhere, and yet the United States government at that point, which this is when they became incorporated, so we're not even talking about the United States government anymore. We're now talking about the United States corporation. Corporations have one goal in mind, the bottom line. Are they in the green? Are they in the red? And how far can they get in the green? So what they did was they said that through illegal legislation, because they are now doing this through the United States Corporation instead of the United States Constitution, they decided they were going to make these two plants, which are actually one and the same, they're the opposite side of the coin, cannabis and hemp, illegal. And at the same time, because even way back then, and I'm going to say early 1900s, because I'm terrible at dates, so that's as close as I'm ever going to get, they also bought, and this is the first time this ever happened, the world patent for CBDs. How do you take a natural occurring chemical substance, CBDs, cannabidiols, and patent it? That's not even legal. You know, something that you patent is something you created yourself. You can't steal something from nature and then say, I'm going to buy the patent on it. That right there is just an atrocity unto itself. But when they bought that, at the same time they made it 100% illegal to buy, sell, trade, grow, manufacture, produce anything involved with cannabis or hemp, which is ludicrous. But it's not if you think about now United States is incorporated, and if we get rid of the hemp and we get rid of the cannabis, we now can create a new medicine. We can start cutting down trees. We can start growing crops. We can create synthetic chemicals. We can create 50 other industries that will become extremely lucrative that hemp used to take care of for pennies on the dollar. We're going to be rich, boys. Jump on board. This is going to be a fun train ride. We end up in Disney World with fireworks going off and tons of dollars in our pockets. So it's a travesty at best. And so what we end up with is when you take a look at that research, they've now patented CBDs. Okay, I think it was like 1945. I suck with timelines, but that's going to be about as close as I get. And they've patented CBDs, and if you read that, they define very clearly in that patent that CBDs will actually cure. Again, very bold of me. They're probably going to shoot me tomorrow. Just painted a target on my back. But cure every disease known to man. Every disease known to man. And so if you
Let me say something at this point. Why do you think it's been legal in Virginia the guys in Washington go to get their medical care? It's been legal to use it for cancer since the 70s.
Well, it's going to come down to the same point I'm going to drive home. You know, you got to understand that cancer is a multi-billion dollar industry. But at the same time, I would really, really appreciate if the listeners would just keep in mind that I am nothing but, I'm just the messenger, okay? This is not my research, but clinically I've seen the effects of all this. I'm going to back up. I got a PowerPoint I pulled up because I want to just state a couple facts. Did you know that if you decide to start doing mammograms at the age of 40, that by the time that you're 60, you will have breast cancer? Because they take the delicate tissue of the breast and they slam it and squish it and abuse it in this machine, and then they hit it with radiation. Number one cause of cancer is radiation, ionizing radiation. Number two is hormonal imbalance. Well, the hormonal imbalance comes because there's something called xenobiotics, synthetic estrogens, petrochemicals, endocrine disruptors, environmental endocrine disruptors. And what these are is these are all a product of using petrochemicals in a very obnoxious form. And every medicine is made out of this. So if you combine ionizing radiation with these petrochemicals, you now create cancer. So it is actually induced through our environment. It comes from the outside of our bodies. You know, it's not something that is because of who we are. In fact, they've actually proven that the genetic testing for cancer is absurd, that only 1.2% of the people that get cancer is due to a genetic flaw. But we can even go further back and prove that epigenetics, which means control above the gene, which means it's the environment that actually modulates and turns the gene off or on, was created by toxins to begin with. So you have to understand that they, way back in 1940s, the beginning of pharmaceutical drugs, okay, knew that they had a plant that could cure every disease known to man, and they made it illegal. And then they turned it into a street drug. So here's the thing. You can go out and hey, the teacher says your kid has ADD. The teacher, okay, because your six-year-old will not sit still in school. Now, I'm sorry. Do you remember being 6 years old? I do. When did you ever sit still? And when should any six-year-old ever sit still or be focused? They're supposed to be running around, engaging. You know, they exist. I'm a neuroscientist. I do brain mapping. A six-year-old brain, if you take a look at it, is in a state of theta. Theta is a super learning state. Let me give you an example. You give a two-year-old a birthday present. They look at the beautiful wrapping on it, and then they, wow, isn't that pretty? And then they rip that off, and then they play with that for 2 seconds, and, of course, they've got to look at it, see it, taste it, feel it, rub it around, and then they're bored. What's next? Then they go to the box. Oh, look at this cool box, and then they got to rip apart the box. Then they get the present, which is what we think is the cool thing, and they go, yada, 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 and then they've processed all that, and they're on to the next thing. The way that you turn out super geniuses, there's a whole school on this called the Institute for the Achievement of Learning Potential, and they take 3-month-old kids, and by the time they're 3, they can repeat verbatim every cyclopedia on earth. You can go, what's 1 to the 15th power divided by 16 to the multiple of 3, da, 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 and then by the time you finish asking the question, they have the answer. I mean, they're just little computers because kids from birth till about 3 are in such a high state of theta, okay, which is also the color blue, which is between 4 and 8 hertz, is a super learning state. I use this a lot in my clinic. And so what happens is they're able to download lots of information. Okay, so you take all that information, and now you put people through advertising all these different mediums into this crazy, we can program, we can download, we can do all this, and they disrupt that. We got a problem from the very beginning. I mean, even if you take a look at the television and the way that we've moved from real time, where the ad was done or the movie was done, and the way that we move in real time to all these really quick flash clicks of information, that actually puts somebody in a state which negates theta, which means that a child's brain never develops properly. It can't. It can't even process information properly. All that can be taught is memory. So I tell you this is true. You remember that, it becomes true. They don't know how to think for themselves anymore, and it's becoming epidemic. But here's what's beautiful about the CBD. So we're going back to the CBD now. You got this world patent. They know it cures all diseases. They made it illegal. They'd rather have your kids on Ritalin, and they don't want them on CBDs. And they say that, you know, even though you're high from your synthetic opiates and from your synthetic Ritalin and all these other things, that you shouldn't be doing CBDs. But yet, the world patent says it will cure every known disease known to man. So having said that, let's just realize it comes down to money. And so if you really want to know the truth, or why you don't know the truth more accurately, let's just say you didn't follow the money trail. So let's negate the money trail and go straight to CBDs. CBDs, okay, I'm reading a book right now, you know, 4 to 40 a month, and it's about antibiotic-resistant infections, bacterial infections that there's no antibiotics to cure. That is now the fourth leading cause of death in the United States. I call them MRSA wards. You go into the hospital for a basic injection or a basic knee surgery, and you never come out because you die with MRSA. I call them MRSA wards. Okay, fourth leading cause in the United States is infections that antibiotics can't cure because we've over-abused antibiotics. Did you know that CBDs, the beautiful thing about them, and I want to qualify myself first before I start talking about CBDs, because CBDs is all over the news. In fact, I just watched a special on CNN that talked solely about CBDs. And now anywhere, and this is mass media for you, misdirection. They give you enough of the truth to make you listen, and they misdirect you enough that you never actually get what's really important. And the misdirection was this. CBDs, they showed, this girl has 125 seizures a day. We give her CBDs, she's better. This person has yada, yada, yada. We give them, they get better. But yet, if someone smokes marijuana and we drive with them, we can prove that they can't drive accurately. So what is the dilemma here? A lot of misinformation coming up there. And I'm going to clarify every and each and every one of those individual scenarios. Number one, nobody talks about a raw CBD. Do you understand that the amount of THC and CBD it would take to heal yourself from every ailment that you have, cure you, not just heal you, cure you, get rid of it, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, bone loss, cure. You would only need CBDs to do that. But the amount of CBDs you would need would be somewhere between 250 and 2,000 milligrams a day. And the problem that I've been having, and my biggest dilemma, is that everybody that grows CBDs is growing it for the THC. People want to get high. Why do people want to get high? Because they feel like shit. They're self-medicating. I would much rather have somebody self-medicate on THC than Ritalin, alcohol, synthetic opiates, and the myriad of possibilities that are out there. Heroin's epidemic right now, but the heroin they're getting isn't even real heroin. The point that I'm trying to make is that there's a need for this stuff. But again, because the need is so great and everybody's fighting back and going, hell no, I'm not taking it anymore. It's coming to the forefront, but nobody's doing it right because they don't know how to do it right because that information is hidden. And the point comes is nobody is talking about raw, not heated up, not decarboxylated THC and CBDs, and CBDs, not just THC. So Rob made a really good point when he goes, you know, everybody's talking about how tired I get. Well, that's because CBD, and just so everybody knows, CBD is called a cannabidiol, okay? And then there's THC, which is one of the families, okay? But there's 580, maybe even more known chemical compounds within the cannabis plant that our bodies have a receptor site for in every cell. Not just in every cell, but really, really, really super heavy in the brain and nervous system, in the immune system, and the digestive system. In fact, if you're smart enough to breastfeed your child, that child will be getting a really huge dose of CBDs and THC every day because that's how the body develops everything. So if we're talking about total developmental, you know, birth to 3 years old, it's those things as well as HCG that plays a huge factor in that development. The problem is because we've been stripped of that plant, okay? So mama never gets it. Your body has to produce it itself. Now, the body's intelligent enough that everything it has a receptor site for, like the CBDs and the THC and the HCG, it can manufacture. But it can only do that so far, but it needs the mother. Just like, you know, it takes me to birth a baby, it takes the mother, the real product, something from the plant itself, ingested to manufacture these things, and there's no source for that. Now, I'll tell you, here's one of my biggest pet peeves, and I hope we'll bring on a couple callers after this because they're gonna testify to what I have to say, is that I'm going to tell you that the CBDs and THC are the widest known, and in my estimation, in my acclimation, my indoctrination, and my education, that these CBDs and these THCs in the raw form, which, by the way, your body needs somewhere between 250 and 2,000 milligrams a day. So if you're like an average grower of marijuana, that would be between one and two plants a day to get healthy once you're in an acute state, a critical state. You have diabetes. You have a congestive heart failure. You have cancer. Okay, so you're in an acute state. It would take 2,000 milligrams a day. That would be equivalent to juicing an 80-day trichrome-laden mature leaf and flower, one to two plants a day to hit that level. Who's doing that? Ain't happening. That's the problem. That's what it takes. But if you could do that, those people, 100% of the time, get, listen to this magic word, cured. Cured. Not better, not going to get better, not looking great, feeling great, but cured. That's why they patent it. That's why they outlawed it, because that's what a miraculous plant this is. The problem that I've come across is that most people are growing it for the high, which to me is not really so bad in one sense, because I would much rather have somebody that's hyperactive, ADD, feels like they got a finger in their life socket, light socket all day long, has post-traumatic stress disorder, has, you know, just a lot of anxiety and depression, and they smoke this and they feel better. That's way better than Ritalin or Vicodin or Xanax or all these crazy things they can take. They're out of pain. Way better. The problem is they're still high. And you can only absorb 10 milligrams of a THC or CBD once you decarboxylate it. That means heating it up. So no one's talking about the raw form. The raw form you can actually ingest between 250 and 2,000 milligrams a day, which is what the body requires when it's in this acute state of stress, disease, which would mean what? Cancer, heart disease, congestive heart failure, diabetes. We can get rid of all the pain. We can get rid of all this. So what I'm trying to educate people on is the fact that you can have the best of both worlds, and then we just need to decide. And this is the area that's real gray for me still, is these people that are coming off of their 75 drugs a day, but they're still doing, you know, like a dab, which is 75% THC, 1% CBD, 50 times a day. That's a concern. You got people that are stoned out of their brain. You could not eat enough or smoke enough cannabis to meet the requirements to beat disease. But yet there are people with these particular situations that need the psychotropic effect to just feel normal. That's why they give ADD kids who are super hyper speed. Who would ever thought? That's what it is. It's actually a speed. So the point is that there's a big lack of education, but more to the point, how to actually dose yourself to get the results you're looking for. And then more even further to the point, which is my biggest concern, and we saw this in the health food industry, which is why I brought my dad up at the beginning of the indoctrination here on Blog Talk, was, you know, to guarantee proper product. You know, what ends up in the average person's hands? And there's a lot of problems with that, a lot of big problems with that. And, you know, one of the things is people are really bragging about, oh, I made my CBDs from hemp. Just so you know, the average hemp plant maybe contains 1% CBD and 0.5% of THC. So even if they're using supercritical extraction, which is the best extraction method on the planet, they get a 20-to-1 concentration. So maybe they're up to 1 or 2% on each of those. The problem lies is even though this is a pharmaceutical company that's well-established and very highly recognized, they're only using the throwaway, the stalks and the stems, of which it contains no THC or CBDs, and then they're bringing it from the industrial end, which is hemp, which was only bred for the fiber aspect and has nothing to do with the CBD or THC, and then they're throwing in something called peppermint oil, which peppermint oil is an essential oil. You can cure so many things with essential oils. I'm a huge proponent of medicinal use of essential oils. But if you take peppermint oil and you put it on your finger and you rub it in your eye is going to cry and weep and bitch at you for a good 20 to minutes to an hour. Not a good way to go about using essential oils. If you breathe them through your sinuses, there is no blood-brain barrier between the olfactory, the sinuses, and the brain. You can go straight up into your brain nervous system. If you rub it on your skin, it's transferred throughout your entire body in 2 to 3 minutes. Why would you ever want to rub it? Just like your eye, mouth to anus is a mucosal lining. Why would you want to ingest something that's going to damage the mucosal lining? And you know what the mucosal lining is? The housing for the 700 trillion cells, the probiotics, 700 trillion cells that live in a symbiotic relationship with the rest of your body. We have been so highly indoctrinated that every level of something that's good, they take it to the next level, act like they're the experts, and damage everything that's created. Most of the people out there, I've read 15 articles this week on essential oils, they all tell you to ingest it. You should never ingest an essential oil. There's no reason to do that. You rub it on your skin. It's throughout your whole body in 3 minutes. You breathe it. It's up in your brain. Why would you ever put it inside your stomach? A mucosal lining, it makes no sense. It's scary at best. So that's how heavily we've been indoctrinated. And that's how the fight's like, yeah, you should be doing this and this and levitating and go there. And I'm going, shit, I'm trying to tell people, you know, you got 15 people telling them ingest peppermint. And I'm going, they're making this CBD oil not only from hemp, they're using supercritical extraction, best method there is. I wish I owned a machine of something that has nothing, nothing from nothing still equals nothing, and then they're putting in peppermint oil. What's wrong with this picture? There's something really wrong here, okay? And nobody, anyway.
I have a question for you.
I know, I'm rambling.
Couple
God
questions,
dang it,
actually.
Cut
One
me
is,
off the knee.
That's okay, because I think this might be interesting to a couple people listening. Two ideas popped into my head, and one is, you said the raw form. Does that mean like the leaves and buds?
Well, yeah, here's the thing. It looks like, and this wasn't my research, I'm just the messenger again, but Dr. Dennis Courtney, and he has his website is Cannabis International, and he is part of our group, and he has proved, he says beyond a shadow of a doubt, it goes beyond any expectation he ever had, but if you can take an 80-day leaf and bud, trichomelated, and juice it. Now, if you understand, this means between 1 to 2 plants a day. We're talking about between 3 to 15 pounds of cannabis leaf and buds a day. You can get rid of every disease known to man.
Now, the other question
Are you hearing
had,
me?
Yeah, we hear
the
you.
The other question that, I had
That's
was,
a lot of cannabis.
Well, yeah, with that much of it, yeah. That the other question I had
well,
had
that's
to
true,
do with
then,
that.
Well, that's true, then. Mike Briscoe ought to live forever. Hey, Mike, shout out
no,
to
No, because
you.
Here's the problem. If you smoke it, if you decarboxylate it, if you smoke it, your body can only get 10 milligrams. So you could never get to your dose. No matter how much of a stoner you are and how much you want, that's my biggest pet peeve, is most people are growing for the high and for the THC. I have a very hard time. I mean, my batches, from one batch to the other, to produce CBDs for people, okay, have varied so much, it's between 1% and 50% CBDs because most people are growing for THC because that's what's going to get rid of the pain, that's going to make someone feel better right away, that's going to make them forget, but guess what? It's not going to heal the body. This is my big pet peeve.
Right.
It's a huge problem.
Can you hear me?
I'm right here listening.
The other question I had had to do with, because of that volume, Has anybody explored the thing about using these CBDs and using homeopathy to use the water to memorize the pattern of the CBDs and use that for healing?
Oh yeah, you know I'm also a doctor of homeopathy, and I create my own lines, and I create them, which is very interesting. There's only one other company that does this based on the Fibonacci sequencing. The Fibonacci sequencing, there's two mathematical equations that actually dictate all life on planet Earth. When people say life isn't perfect, they're clueless because life is perfect. Everything can be explained, everything, from every joint, wrinkle, and line on your body to everything in architecture, to every leaf on a plant, it can be described mathematically through the pi or the Fibonacci sequencing. So what I do with my homeopathic remedies is I sequence them Fibonacci-ically. Okay, so yes, we have done that, and that's huge, and that's very powerful, and it's way important, and I'm so glad you mentioned it. But I think the point that I'm trying to really drive home right now is that everybody's missing the bigger point, and once again, mass media has taken over, and they've diluted the importance of a CBD through a raw form, and nobody is talking about it. Dr. Courtney is the leading, he's the master of the universe, and he has proven that with the raw cannabis, which is not psychoactive, you can't get high off of it. You can achieve the levels your body needs to gain health, reverse disease, and cure all of mankind. And
I got a question. I got a question. Now, some months back, I saw a YouTube video about just juicing. I mean, you grow a plant for 1 month, and you juice it. You keep a constant rotation of 30 plants, and when it gets to day 30, you juice it and drink the juice.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. Again, mass media taking over. So they're giving you enough of the information that it looks logical, but at the end of the day, it's worthless. Because what it takes to really make the medicine activate the potential that it excels in is that you need an 80-day mature leaf and mature trichome and mature bud to actually get the medicine to the person. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. So we're looking at, you know, there's some plants that can mature closer to 80 days, but anybody that knows how it grows knows when maturation occurs before it starts going the other way, and that's the leaf and the bud you need. But you understand that if you're going to juice, first off, you need a very special juicer. Second off, you need leaves and buds of a trichome-enriched 80-day leaf and bud. Nobody is doing that. In fact, the companies I'm looking at are using hemp. Now, how are you going to get a CBD or THC at a high enough level from a stem or a stalk, supercritically extracted or not, that's going to get you to the 250 to 2,000 milligrams a day you need? You're not going to. And how many people, bigger picture, that are going to say, okay, I get what you're saying, Charmaine. Let me go ahead and start growing my own plants or hook up with someone that's growing the plants righteously. And yet they're picking a 30-day leaf. Guess what? Medicine isn't there. Not going to happen. Not even close to happening. 80 days, maturity, when the plant reaches its trichrome-lated, 580 chemical-richly enhanced biological processes to cure every disease known to man. So this is why I was happy to get on the talk show and try to educate people on everybody's, there's only a couple of people around the world that will give you the medicine that will actually do what it promises. The rest is all about getting high. And I have no problem because, you know what, I'd rather somebody smoke pot than take the ADD meds or the psychotropic meds because I'm also a neuroscientist and I brain map people. I can actually take a picture of your brain and show you all the problems that exist, and I can also at the same time teach you how to correct all those problems very easily by watching a movie and implementing a few supplements, CBDs being one of them. But you can't, that can't happen with that 30-day leaf and bud. Ain't happening. In fact, at 30 days, I doubt there's even a bud. It's probably just leaves. So it's people trying to maximize. So you got somebody growing leaf for THC. They have a dispensary, and they're going, I can take these 30-day leaves, which will not have anything to do with my production for the THC that's going to make me my mass bucks, and I can sell this as a CBD tincture. Everybody's going to buy it. I can sell for $80 an ounce. Let me tell you. My mom has been selling hemp seed oil and hemp oil for 15 years at $16 to $25 for 22 ounces. why are people going online and paying $80 for hemp seed oil, which is worthless, for $80 an ounce? It's a flipping scam. It's irritating at best. You want me to continue? I got a hell of a tirade.
Oh, keep going.
I'm on a roll. I'm always on a damn roll. You read my thing first. What did you expect me to say? You read my thing. I'm not an ignoramus. This is somebody who is an information junkie. You nailed me on that.
Is it any of the calls? We got three callers. Anybody else got a question at this point?
You know what? I'd like you to take that 734 caller if he's there, because he will qualify what I'm saying. He did a lot of research. He went to all the 420 Denver.
He's there.
All right. Let's see what he has to say, because I'm pretty sure he's going to qualify what I had to say.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Hi, this is Jason. I just want to confirm the validity of what Charmaine was talking about in regards to CBDs and labeling and the products and what's out there right now as far as to the masses. I went out to the Cannabis Cup out in Colorado, and then I just went to the Cannabis Cup in Michigan that was up in Ohio. And the sad thing is that a lot of the people in the own industry, that they'll know about CBDs and the benefits of them and how they can help heal the body. And like Charmaine was saying, heal pretty much any and all diseases that we have. But the problem is all these different companies that are manufacturing products that they're stating are CBD products, they are coming from hemp seeds or hemp stalks and even some of the seeds. And that's the issue. Like she said, there is no THC or CBDs in the actual product that the end consumer is going to be end up buying, because there was none to begin with, but trace product or trace amounts, and then even through the processing, even at supercritical extraction, you're going to end up with nothing. So I went up there, and all these different vendors, they'll have different like breath sprays, shockers, all different types of products. But the bottom line is, when you look at the labels, it all tells you it comes from hemp, from hemp. So that's the big issue, is you have all these people who are thinking that they are getting, a true CBD tincture, or true CBD product, whatever that might be, and they're pretty much paying for placebo. So that's a really big issue right now.
Jason, I just wanted to confirm and validate that.
Mm-hmm?
Jason, just share the one story, and don't name manufacturers or anything like that, because I'm not trying to front anybody out. Everybody's trying. But the big guy at the Denver Classic, explain that whole scenario. That was a great story.
You're walking around, and, like, I don't know if anybody who's on the call has ever been to one of these cups or anything, but it's like a huge fairground, like a state fair, and every vendor has a booth set up, and, they're selling their product, basically, whatever that may be, whether it's a nonprofit there pitching something, testing results or whatever. So I was walking around, and there was this booth, and this guy had like probably, 20 to 40 people right in front of him. And they all had his undivided attention. And he was up there preaching the gospel about CBDs. So naturally, I walked right by, stood there and listened to his whole presentation, and he was spot on with what he was talking about. And then after his presentation, he breaks out his product, which, again, I'm not going to say the name, but it was a pump spray that you spray in your mouth. And it was a CBD product that, like I said, he was professing would save the world, best thing since sliced bread. Except when I waited until it was all over, I got one of the products from him, and then I talked because I didn't want to, like, run him out in front of everybody. But when we had a talk, I was asking him, what the processing was on it, because I was reading the back of the label on the spray. And, again, it comes from hemp seed. It's from hemp. So he just basically stated that he knew about CBDs, but he didn't know about the processing and how if you can keep it below a certain temp, you're not going to make it go psychoactive. So he didn't even know that you could take something that could come from cannabis but have it non-psychoactive and deliver the CBDs that you actually need to the end consumer, the patient, basically. So, that's an issue. This guy has a ton of people there. He has a great marketable product. It's a great-looking product. It's professional. I mean, it looks awesome, but, again, it's placebo. People are just buying a placebo from it because they're not going to get any CBDs from this product. So that's just one story, but that same story, it would be like a broken record just playing over and over and over at every damn booth you walk up to across the country. And I left the Cup, went on the Freedom Tour with a handful of us that went out there just doing our due diligence on all this. And, you know, even if you go to the dispensaries all out there, the apothecaries, it's the same story. So...
so we've got.
I just wanted to validate
glitch.
And confirm
yeah.
it. So you guys
yeah, no,
enjoyed
no.
it. No,
Jason, that was awesome. That was awesome. And, you know, and so he saw it firsthand, and I actually went up to the High Times, I don't know what it's called, cannabis whatever, that was in Michigan a couple weekends ago, and I was really actually kind of impressed because when I went to the booth and I took Jake's and I said, let me show you how to qualify somebody five levels back to, if they know what they're talking about. And he did such a great job at the Cannabis Cup. I knew he would get a kick out of this. And we found that he found because he actually went a day ahead of time and qualified all the booths that were worth looking into. So I walk up to the one booth and I was so impressed because they were actually doing a whole plant extraction, which is so really important because I'm actually going to promote this book called Herbal Antibiotics, Natural Alternatives. And in it, the guy says that, you know, superbugs, this was actually the, I'm not going to say this right, but you're going to get the gist of it. It was the national, it was some national organization that actually qualifies the efficacy of antibiotics. And they said that we're done. We can't help anybody. We've got these superbugs. We have these MRSA wards. And hospitals are actually National Journal of anyway, it's not coming to me right now, but that the number four cause of deaths in the United States are MRSA wards in the hospital. So you've got these people that have these infections that no antibiotic can cure. And that's due to the overuse of antibiotics, all right? But at the same time, you know, you've got these people out there promoting these CBDs, which can actually, if you get the right strain and you get the right processing method, okay, you can actually get rid of every infectious disease known to man. But, you know, the infiltration is so extreme that here's Jason out at 420, the biggest convention for cannabinoids and THC on the market, and nobody's doing it right. And I'm not going to say that nobody's doing it right because there's a handful of people that are doing it right, but here's the problem, is when it comes to THC and CBD, there's this sweet spot, okay, because you need it raw. I hope that I've established that. If you decarboxylate it, if you heat it up, that means that you're destroying 95% of the medicine, 95%. The 5% that's still there is really beneficial. I'm not negating it. It's extremely important. You know, if you've got someone with post-traumatic stress disorder, huge ADD, a lot of pain, this is a venue that we must explore if we want to help these people. And it's going to blow away the synthetic opiates. It's going to blow away all the steroids and everything else we're using, and it's going to put them on the right path. The problem is they have to be stoned, and they have to get used to being stoned. I don't like being stoned. It's not my gig. I'm a very mental person. It slows me down. I can't remember. It doesn't work for me, okay? But I also had a car accident and abused myself with body work for so many years that at night when I come home, that's the only thing that gets me out of pain enough to survive, and I eat a brownie too. Okay, so there's a use for that, but that's not what I'm about. What I'm about is the raw CBD because you need to get between 250 and 2,000 milligrams a day, and it's got to be raw because you can only achieve 95% of the medicine's gone when you decarboxylate it, when you heat it up, and you need some CBDs. What my problem has been through this whole endeavor is that everybody I've encountered, minus maybe 0.05% of the populace, is growing marijuana for the THC and for the high. Okay, and I'm not opposed to that. I'm saying I think it's better than alcohol and other things, a lot of other things they can use. They're still getting 5% of the medicine, but it's not going to deliver the cure. So if we're trying to deliver the cure, then you must take a look at the raw aspect of it. And so here, the last High Times Cannabis Cup, Michigan, 2 weeks ago. There was somebody that was actually intelligent enough. God, I respected him so much. He actually aligned with the company that I'm not going to mention now, but it's a company that's been in my industry for many, many years, very respectable company. But I said, what temperature are you, you know, processing this at? And he goes, all my specs are right here. He didn't even know it off the cuppy. He didn't even know it was an issue, which created a bigger concern. You know, this is somebody that's doing something pseudo-right, and they don't even know how to acknowledge if it's right or not. So that was a big concern. So, again, lack of education. And he said, here's all my specs. So I looked at the specs. I said, Jason, transfer this. And I actually beat him to it, and he's like Mr. Tech. I said, transfer this into Fahrenheit, because I don't know Celsius. And it looks like, even though they're doing a whole plant extract, which is the best I've seen, which is extremely important, because we know that if you read the book Herbal Antibiotics, or if you read anybody that knows anything about herbs, it's not about pharmacology, where they isolate one component, and that one component is supposed to be the miracle. No. When you have 520, 580, 600 chemicals that we can isolate out of cannabis, and you look at the synergy between them, if you isolate one without incorporating the others, you're an idiot. It, seriously, like, you can't even tell me that you know anything about helping
Marinol.
People when it comes to medicine.
Marinol.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Perfect example. It's just, it's idiocy at its best. So anyway, you take a look at that, and then this is a company that I actually respect because they actually do whole food extracts, which to me is the ultimate savior of the planet. But they heated up the temperature. Jason, do you remember what that temperature was? Wasn't it close to like 400 degrees or something?
Yeah, it was like 400
yeah.
or so.
Yeah, like 400 degrees. So here's the thing. Here's the sweet spot for cannabis. There's something called a CBN. A CBN is a cannabinoid that has the N nomenclature added to it, and it actually cannot even be activated unless it gets to 120 degrees. So because I know that, Jason has contacted all of his people that manufacture. We're Michigan. So all of his people that manufacture, and they started producing waxes and shatters at 120. Now, what that does, which is really very interesting, is that it activates the CBN. Now, that CBN is critical to this area of the country because that is very specific to mold poisoning. Now, remember, Toledo was a black swamp until they dug ditches. So we have the highest levels in the world. There's people that can meet us, but they can't beat us, with Aspergillus and with quite a few known mold cultures that are actually deadly. In fact, Jason came to me as a patient with lung cancer of the Aspergillus in nature. Okay, so, I mean, we see this a lot. You know, he was very young when he came. But the point being is that if you don't actually heat up the raw product to 120 degrees, you can't even you can't activate the CBN. So the choice comes to that sweet spot between 120, and then if you go past 280 degrees, then you've destroyed 95% of the medicine. Well, this particular company, doing a whole food extract, they were using 400 degrees, which means that now 95% of the medicine is missing. So here I thought, God, we found this great company. They're manufacturing properly. They're using a corporation structure that is producing a lot of good medicine on the planet from an herbal perspective. And then I read the temperature, I realized they don't really know what they're doing. So my dilemma is such that I'm out here trying to get these products to people that use maybe sometimes 120, because there's sometimes when I want to activate that. And again, I'm still doing waxes, tinctures, and brownies that are going to be psychoactive, but we've gone only to 120, so we're saving all the medicine for those people that need that to calm down, slow down, take their finger out of the light socket. We need that remedy. But if we're really trying to get to the level that's going to cure disease, we got to get between 250 and 2,000 milligrams a day. I don't know anybody that's going to ingest 1 to 2 plants a day to make that happen. So it's all a big fat lie, and it's very frustrating at best.
Charmaine, I've got a friend in Utah who built his own nuclear resonance magnetometer. He is an Indian chief, and he's been very, very successful at locating minerals. I could tell you stories. But
I want to hear all those stories, for another time.
With his magnetometer, he identified the nuclear resonant frequency of cannabis. Then he went around his Mormon town with his nuclear resonant magnetometer with the special antenna, everything that he developed. He's all self-taught. And he discovered that 20% of the houses in this little town, Manti, Utah, all had cannabis in it. So, and it doesn't like, now this like, but here's the thing he discovered. Now I was chatting offline with Mark about this, and he wants to tell you about DARPA. They're looking at people being able to download the frequency of any herb. But what my friend Robert discovered was
I've been doing radionics for about 40 years, so I'm familiar with what you're talking about.
Here's the problem, though, is what Robert discovered was that some days his machine worked better than others, so he started doing spreadsheets. And what he discovered was, is after he went back into the alchemy and the history, he discovered that after the Great Flood or inundation, which is when he thinks is when our moon was put in place, that, or so, whatever he said.
Oh,
that,
you mean the artificial moon that we have in place?
It says at some point the moon was kind of put in charge of the Earth. In other words, the moon ruled the Earth, and so he discovered that depending on what moon phase, he had to slightly adjust the resonant frequency of his machine to get the best results for that day. And he worked it all out.
Yeah, and we call that calibration. And I will have you know that I do not purchase a single machine that does not calibrate or give me a feedback loop. Because when you're talking about energy of the cells, it's microcurrent. It's below 500 microns. So, if you're going to do that, You have to be able to calibrate regularly because it's fluid in nature. It changes constantly.
Right, that's what he discovered. So
I'm wondering if
off in the future, if we won't be able to just slap a pair of headphones in and get the same effect from
I do that. In fact, in my clinic, I do radionics, and I feel that I have one of the best systems on the planet. And off topic, but kind of along the same lines, is, so for instance, I have a patient of mine, the seeker, sitting in the chair, and she says, I'm treating her because it looks like she got the mosquitoes in our area. They tested them. 95% of them have West Nile virus. She's got a rash on her body, so I'm just going to treat her and boost her immune system and yada, yada, yada. And at the same time, I have to realize that to the radionic potential, there is going to always be a backslide, and so that's why I only purchase machines that calibrate regularly and give me a feedback loop. The problem with most of the radionic machines on the planet, and I'm going to say this in regards to what your guy's doing, is it needs a calibration regularly, several times a day, in fact, consistently, which is what my machine does, and it needs a feedback loop that they're actually getting the microcurrent, because there's a lot of reasons why they won't. And that is another whole topic, but it is very, very much verifiable and really, really important, and I'm glad you brought it up. And, yes, radionics is the future. We can actually create, dismember, potentialize, depotentialize, get rid of anything. I mean, this girl put this, she says, my knee hurts. I said, okay, put that headband, take it off your head, put it on your knee. I spent 2 minutes, her knee pain was gone. She goes, well, my ankle hurts. She's a volleyball player. She's 6'3", she's 13 years old. She grew way too fast, so a lot of changes in her body, needs to self-regulate, in a lot of pain, and they're saying loose ligaments, and then yet, one click on her knee, pain gone. One click on her ankle, pain gone. One click on her back, pain gone. That's beyond comprehension for most people, but this is what I do all day long. So I believe in the radionics, But I'm talking about the mother, because what we really need and what's missing on planet Earth right now, no matter what we can do with radionics, so we need the mother. We need the raw product. You know, it's no coincidence that we as humans actually have receptor sites. Let's just talk about CBDs for a second. It can be any herb on the planet. I don't care which one it is, but the point's going to still remain the same, is that you actually have, CBDs are so instrumental in human development that we actually have CBD receptor sites throughout our entire brain. You have them in every cell of your body, but the brain, the nervous system, the digestive system, and the immune system are like exponentially loaded with these receptor sites. Mother's breast milk contains it because they're so important for developmental issues. But the problem comes down to that if you just do it through radionics without the mother, then it can't happen. You still have to have the mother in the receptor site. So as much as I think it's great that he created those, and I want to talk to you later about this, to download those into what I do on a daily basis, if I can't give the mother out in her raw form at a high enough milligrams, then it doesn't really do any good, because it's like trying to say that we just live on air. We don't.
Right.
We still eat, and we still gather nutrition from the food, and so there still is the need for the mother. And that's why I'm really discouraged. And once again, fighting a battle I don't want to fight but have the need to fight, and that is about there's huge misconceptions. Most people that grow cannabis are doing it for the THC. I can't even find people. Charlotte's Web is almost gone. Cannatonic is almost gone. Nobody's growing for the CBDs. Everybody's buying it for the high because they feel better, but they're missing the medicine. And that's my whole entire speech in a nutshell, is that, you know, we want to get people to where they have to go. If you're smoking it, vaporizing it, decarboxylating it, you're missing 95% of the medicine. 95%.
What do you think about Amnesia Haze and Chocolope?
Say that again.
These are two high CBD strains, Amnesia Haze and Chocolope.
Okay, here's my problem with those. It's like every single high CBD strain. At this point, because we're so neophyte and it's indoctrination,
right,
you have to be able to actually identify the phenotype. And to be able to identify the phenotype, it has to grow to full maturity. And then you can't get clones. You can't do all these things. So it's a wide-open science. I mean, there's a couple strains that we know are productive, and if we can keep those going, that's great. But until we can actually identify the phenotype, we're still between a rock and a hard place. So let me give you an example. My first round of CBDs, because I realized how important they were, came down to two critical indoctrinations. Okay, one is affordability. So I went into the health food store, and I thought to myself, I said, what do I have to find in the health food store that is important as a CBD? And through just a lot of time and thinking and retrospection, I said, you know what? The closest thing for importance of the human body would be omega-3s. Because I'm going to tell you that if you don't have enough omega-3s in your body, you will automatically go into the inflammatory pathway, and inflammation is the underlying cause of every single disease. You can only have a disease, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, cancer, if you have inflammation, period, dot. So we know that omega-3s control that channel at a very, very high level, very acute level. But the problem is that you need at least a 1-to-1 and hopefully like a 20-to-1 indoctrination. But most of the companies that manufacture omega-3s are doing it wrong, and they're going to actually drive you further into inflammation. That's how far we've been indoctrinated. Even the big companies have missed their ability to process omega-3s properly. I mean, we've got 60,000 products in the health store. About 2,000 of those are omega-3s, and there's only five that I would buy and use myself. So knowing that, you better make sure that when you buy your omega-3s, because they're so critical, that you talk to somebody that knows how to deliver the end product that's going to help you instead of hurt you. That's how bad we've been indoctrinated. Everything hurts you. It doesn't help you. So it's a big, huge, you know, how do you teach people that? Oh, omega-3s, and they go to Swanson or they go to Costco and they buy the omega-3s and they're actually hurting the process. I mean, this is a huge dilemma. Now we fast forward to CBDs and we've got the same dilemma, the same problem. It still exists. No one's processing it properly. Nobody's delivering it properly. And that's why I'm on board speaking right now, because there are ways to figure this out. And you know your best way? To find somebody that is an expert and knows how to look at these things and can give you direction. Otherwise, you're just believing what you believe on the Internet. Really? Come on. And I've looked at every single news article and every single information coming out in CBDs and every single product coming out. And I will say there are some people doing it right, but I still have a glitch and a cog in that wheel. The people that are actually doing it right, they're doctors that have learned the right way to do it. I've got the hiccups from hell. Sorry about
I know.
About this. That's the bullshit. Sorry.
You're a real
trigger. Sorry, but I'll keep talking. Sorry about that. But I've got the hiccups from hell. Anyway, so, you know, these doctors that know how to do it right, the problem that I have with them, and it's a big problem, is that they are actually loading this really cool CBD-enriched remedy for patients, and they're sticking it into a syringe that's plastic. Now, all plastic, as we know, is synthetic estrogen. And we know the number one cause of cancer is hormonal imbalance due to synthetic estrogens. This is a big problem. This is a huge problem. So here again, we take this wonderful cure for all diseases known to man, and then we stick it into a syringe that's plastic. So again, everybody's missing the bigger point. I don't see anywhere on the planet somebody that is doing it right to really get the medicine to the people and to do it right except for me. And I will tell you, I'm not doing it anywhere near where I want to do it. I can only produce a CBD according to the raw plant that I get that meets my qualifications for organic, non-toxic fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, yada, 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 okay? At one point, I was actually able to get my CBDs up to about 10%, but here's the other problem. And this was the question that Dodd presented at the very beginning of the call, that fatigue. Let's think about this for a second. If you are really, really toxic and you have actually reached the disease paradigm, which to me means you have symptoms, you know, American medical establishment will say you have diabetes or you have cancer or you have whatever the case may be. For them to state that, there are certain markers they see. So now we're going to go ahead and give you CBDs. But no manufacturing it properly. They're all putting it into a synthetic tube. And there's some really, really big problems with this. So it makes it look like it's a bunch of bullshit, because we can't produce the results if we can't give them the really good product to begin with. Now, here's the thing I'm up against. Everybody that's growing cannabis is growing cannabis for high quantities of THC. Why? People get high. They feel better. They want to just sit in that situation. They want to become numb. Guess what? Decarboxylated, 95% of the medicine gone. Okay, so now, I'm going to enlist you. You're going to grow cannabis for me. I want something with the high CBD content, preferably a one-to-one, because if you can do a one-to-one THC to CBDs, the people won't get so tired. My first batch, nothing but CBDs that will get you tired. 10-20% CBDs, amazing, will cure everything known to mankind. But you can't get out of bed to make it happen. Not too pretty, is it? So what we've decided is, and what we figured out through this process, is that you want a CBD and a THC at a 1-to-1. Guess what? There's only, I can't even tell you, there's only, it's not even a handful of people that are trying to process this. So how do I get it to you? So what? One batch looks like, wow, that's amazing. The other batch looks like you're sleeping a lot. The other batch looks like that's the best I can get you. I'm happy to give you a 3% CBD. And the other. So nobody is quantifying a religious batch of CBD-enhanced plants that can actually actualize this. And everybody else is growing for the high. So this is what I'm banging my head against the wall for, and I'm giving it my best shot. I want better. I'm growing my own plants to try to make this happen. But the bottom line at the end of the day is I have to deal with what I have, and I have to be honest with you. Some batches are way better than others, but at the same time, it's still raw. You can do a lot more without getting high. So it means that, you know, you got to remember, you can only do 10% from a perspective of being high. So if I can keep it raw, so I can increase that 90%, that's all I got right now. I can't do better than that.
Yeah,
I can't do better than that. I'm working on it.
CBDs is still going to be better than what anything else on the market is, because that's coming from hemp.
Right. But I'm just saying,
right. So,
that's as good as it gets. That's the truth. Truth be known. Not anywhere near where I want to be. Not anywhere near where it should be. I mean, 2,000 milligrams a day? Do you understand any bottle on the market would be like 30 bottles a day at $80 a bottle? Who can afford that?
Yeah.
Come on.
Now, I've been reading that, you know, if you're just breeding for THC, I mean, you're setting yourself up for psychosis, because it takes CBDs to pull you down from that. You got to have that mother plant. You got to have both of them working in tandem. And now that, you know, if they could open the door for research on a nationwide or worldwide level, we'd figure
here's
all this
thing
out.
Is, no. We've already figured all this out. There's over 20,000 research that's been done on this. So the fact to say that there's no research is a bunch of bullshit. It's been researched since 1945 at such a high level. It's a joke. It's highly researched. They don't want it out there. And everybody else, because they've been misdirected, is breeding for the high. That's where the money's at. And that's where the medicine is lacking. And that's where I step in. So
what
just understand
saying,
that's
is,
where
is
I step in.
Hey, Charmaine, just to quantify that too, like with the Cannatonic and different strains, like one of my good friends and associates, he's a caregiver and whatnot too in Michigan. His Cannatonic strain, he had that and had like a plethora of it. And that's that at the time too was one of the highest CBD strains in the world that only, I mean, a handful of people even had. And he couldn't get rid of it. He could not move it because people, they wanted that lay you back on the couch high, which Charmaine's talking about. It's an amazing, amazing flower, you know, truly is. But like I said, there wasn't a market for it just because people weren't getting the buzz. That's exactly what she means when she's talking about people wanting to grow for the high, because that's what's selling.
But now,
there's only a few strains. Like when you get to the one-to-one ratio, then you're going to have a high concentration of CBD.
Well, you
get worse. And I said, Robitech. I didn't tell me drug and go see up. I can tell, man.
You want to know my number?
Oh. Hello?
Yeah, there was a lot of noise there, and I don't know who it was, but I.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, that was kind of weird. That was kind of weird, definitely.
Yeah, it was 419-810.
The point is, and my biggest point is that if we want to get this medicine to the planet, then there needs to be an education, and that's really missing right now. Really, I mean, missing on a big, 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 big level, because my last batch that I created, I mean, this is sorry. The last batch that I created to help people was THC at 75%, CBD at 6%. That is not a one-to-one ratio. So I looked, when I went up there to the cannabis cup, High Times Cannabis Cup in Michigan, I found one grower, one, of the whole entire cannabis cup that was willing to offer me a higher CBD if I can define the phenotype. But what you have to understand about defining a phenotype means that you're going to grow this plant to maturation, to maturity, and then see if it fits the specs. And so it is a science that is so far away from being practicalized. That was a seriously stupid word I just used. But practically is what I'm trying to say. If you're trying to practically accentuate the quality of the CBD with the THC at a one-to-one ratio, it has not happened yet. And this is my big dilemma. And what I'm trying to do at this point is at least give enough CBDs to create enough medicine to grow raw, maybe 120 degrees, you know, so you get the CBN. But then again, you get high off of that. There's going to be a psychotropic effect. It's a fine line, you know, and it's not right yet, and nobody's doing the right thing because everybody's growing to get high, and so, you know, for people that are going to vaporize, smoke, eat something that's been heating up, I mean, we actually create an edible that does not go above 120 degrees, and is no gluten, no sugar, and organic. I mean, nobody's doing that. That's the best we can do at this point in time. But at this point in time, nobody's doing what I need them to do to manufacture the raw product. They did it for a few short months, helped me establish the market, and then tried to backsling me. I mean, that's the problem. And that's the problem we're up against right now. And so people are trying to do it themselves, but they all use heat. And the second you go above 180 degrees, you destroy all the enzymes and 95% of what the plant has to give you. So it's a huge dilemma. So I appreciate you getting me on this website to explain that. But, you know, I'm doing it right. I'm doing it right. I'm not doing as good as I could do it because nobody is, but that's where it sits right now.
I was wondering about carboxylating. If you the recommendations.
Decarboxylating.
If the recommendations I've seen are like 240 degrees for an hour, if you go down to, you're saying that in making a tincture, if you go down to 180, it for maybe a longer period of time, it'd be better.
Well, here's the thing. This is true of all plant life. Anything that you want to say is raw, because we know that raw is what nature offers. So if you take a look at that and you say raw is what nature offers, and, you know, where we get up to in really extreme conditions, about 120, 130 degrees, okay, the point is that when you start to process and you use heat, that you decarboxylate, you heat up, and you destroy most of the medicine of every single plant that there is, whole plant extract or otherwise. So what we really have to take a look at is the raw tincture from a source that can guarantee a potency of so many CBDs. And if you look at a one-to-one ratio, that's the highest level of indoctrination. Nobody's taking a look at that. And then if you go to the lowest level, which is where I'm at right now with my manufacturing, which really sucks, is I'm looking at like a 75% THC and only a 6% CBD. That's really way off. So the first question the caller had was the exhaustion. That was because that tincture that I had to capability of manufacturing at that point was strictly, it was a cannabidiol. It's a 10% CBD. I actually can manufacture it in a 6-to-1 ratio. So you're looking at 60% CBD. It is going to make you so exhausted. It's going to make you not able to function. Why? Because your body is detoxing and regenerating at a very high level. So what I'm trying to do is find the strain that also lets you feel a little bit better while you're doing that. But you have to heat that up. So it's a fine line between raw and incorporating that so people can actually function. But let's take a really stronger look at this. And if you have an inoperable brain tumor or like 4-stage cancer, who cares if you sleep all the time? Let's take a look at what's really happening. So, again, it's information, education, and that's what's missing. But when you're trying to rebuild a better body and get rid of cancer, you're going to want to sleep for about 3 months. There's no way around that. No way around that. You know, your body's got to detox and heal. Think about a newborn baby. They're trying to rebuild and fight the environment. Same scenario. What do babies do? They sleep all the time. So, you know, I've got to try to manufacture a product that allows people to function while supplying the medicine. That's a hell of an indoctrination.
What do you think of what Bob Hagen is doing in Ohio? Now, you're in Toledo, right?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. What do you think about Bob Hagen? Are you familiar with House Bill 153?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. Bring me up to speed, please.
Well, you might get in touch with this guy. It says... says, while Ohio currently lacks protections for seriously ill patients who use cannabis as a medicine, Hagen has introduced legislation. House Bill 153 allow patients to use and grow marijuana or designate a caregiver to grow for them. It's similar to programs in place in 23 other states and D.C. You might want to... You might want to get in touch with this guy.
Okay, here's my big complaint about that. Here's my big complaint.
You at least get some. Got to get some politicians on board with you.
I know, and here's my legal aid with that. And I appreciate what you're offering up, and it's a really critical point and something that absolutely needs to be addressed. But here's my biggest complaint with that whole entire scenario, is that, and this is the Oklahoma, which is what you guys are, okay, indoctrination, is that it was never illegal, okay? So the fact that you're making it legal means that you sucked me into your quantifying bullshit. If something is of the planet and it helps us and it's something we consider a sacrament, then there's no legalization or decriminalization, it just exists. And that's where people want to get legislation passed, big mistake, to qualify the use of this. Our venue, which is totally different from all that, is such that it reigns in the status of the planet supplies this, we've used this historically for thousands of years, and you, because of that, have no right or authority over us. That is way bigger, way more important, and needs to take a status and education and indoctrination to understand why that is so way more important than legalization and decriminalization. No. This is a plan of the earth that has helped us.
Good point. But don't you think until we go in as plaintiffs, not as criminal defendants, go into federal court and get injunctive relief, you know, for this purpose, and you'd have to do it in the western part of the United States because that'd be the way to do it. So you could it would cover more than half of the country. I mean that's what's being swapped around with, you know, people like Dr. Rogers and Elliot Ben-Yosef.
I get that, but the problem is they got sucked into the fact that they think that corporate America actually dictates the law, and it doesn't. And that's where we have to step back.
What do you do then? You're going to get raided. You're going to get shut down. You're going to get thrown in jail because they're still doing that to our people.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing is that every time that happens, my dad has stepped in creating an organization. We always win. So it's just about being one step ahead. It's not about stepping back and being afraid. It's about stepping forward and doing the right thing. And when you step forward and do the right thing and you realize where this is headed, there's going to be a lot of, you know, BS on the way. And the person that steps up front and paints the target on their back is the biggest impetus to make it happen. But at the same time, when people come up behind them and say, we're behind it, and those numbers add up, that means a lot more.
Yeah.
So it comes down to people getting educated so they understand what's really going on. And do you really want your kid on Ritalin, or would you rather having them vaporize 3 times a day? You know, that's a huge indoctrination. Huge, huge. Or taking CBDs. So, you know, that's what we're up against right now. That's the bigger picture. Everything else becomes ridiculous, lack of insightfulness. This is our biggest doorway to the future. And we already own the rights, and we will already win every single case. So it comes down to how proud, righteous, religious, do the right thing person are we indoctrinating? I've already got a couple kids to say, you know, my job says I have to drop urine, but I use medical cannabis. What does this mean at the end of the day? And nobody can tell them what that means. But yet, when they said she couldn't work there because of that, and this is a really crazy story. I mean, this girl has been in and out of surgery for 25 years. You know, she can't pee without a catheter, has scar tissue all over her body, and the only thing that's really helped her be able to function, and she is like the head of her class. For every class that she takes, she's so super genius. She's actually working towards medical electronics, basically what we're talking about, radionics. She's like the next generation. She's like way off the chart. So, you know, you got someone like this that says, I want to make a stand. I'm not okay with the fact that I can't get a job here because I use medical cannabis. And then, guess what? She fails her drug test, doesn't get a job, and she is the best thing that would have ever happened to them, and they don't get that. How do we change this paradigm? That's the bigger picture, and that's where I'm coming from. How do we make this happen? You know? So we have to first start with having quality products, and that just isn't happening.
Yeah.
It's just like a hot goddamn mess.
Proofs of the pudding, yeah.
Yeah,
well, let me ask you something. You know, what about, you know, what about going back to, cannabis, you know, in concert with you know, a couple types of cinnamon and myrrh? You know, that's the holy anointing.
Yeah, but you could never disqualify synergy. You got to remember, I've been doing this for 45 plus years.
Yeah.
Synergy is the magic of the universe.
Right.
Synergy is why I'm here. Synergy is about what it's all about. If you discard synergy, guess what you did? You could just plant your headstone and death sentence on it. Because
Yeah.
Synergy,
well, maybe
is why all plants survive. You can't be a plant with 520, any known plant, 520 known chemical compositions, and then think that synergy doesn't apply at some point. It's off the hook. But yet modern medicine wants to tell you that the one chemical, this one chemical, is going to save the universe. And how well has that work played out?
Yeah, really. Well, maybe sometime we can you can help us get somebody on and talk about holy anointing oil, because it's getting to be, you know, a movement. There's people that are curing themselves of diabetes and all kinds of other stuff, and that's synergy.
Yeah,
but,
synergy is what it's all about, but I'm saying there's no one plant that does it unto itself.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous to think that. You know, everything's here for a reason, and everything here has a purpose. And if you negate any one thing, but if you could take one thing, if you could take one thing and make a really big difference, really quick, really fast, really easy, guess what that would be?
CBDs. Right?
Right. Right. And everybody's got it really wrong, don't they?
Yeah. Well, you got your work cut out for you. Got your work cut out for you.
Yep, that's what I do. So when you read my reading, when you say it's really right on?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I didn't read any of your bio before. I didn't have time for this show, so I just had to do the reading, you know, just point blank.
Yeah, what
but,
do you think when you see that?
What I think?
Yeah, what do you think when you see that?
Oh, I look each readings all. I don't. I just go see.
I don't know. What do you think when you see that? I mean, I'm pretty diversified. You know, I've really looked for education on every level. Can you say that?
I think that that's one of the things that's coming back about it. Is, and this may help you in some way, is the part of it and your connection, especially coming back from the future and connecting into Creator, has to do with radial light, spiraling light. And that goes back to what you were saying on the Fibonacci sequence, because that's what drives those. The Fibonacci sequence and pi both relate to spiral circles and light and such. So I think there may be something in that for you to explore. And one way to look at it is, one way I've heard it explained or understand it is that Creator kind of comes out of consciousness and forms our reality with conceptually from two forms, two lights moving, counterbalancing and moving through each other. And I believe that probably because we see, you know, the plants and our bodies down all the way down to DNA, the galaxies all have the Fibonacci or the golden ratio sequence in them, that sequence is actually being formed in that light. So I think your thing about you're saying you're doing Fibonacci sequencing and homeopathy and stuff on these, I would say there's something to look for in there that may allow you to both get to the higher levels, the one-to-one relationship, your ratio that you're looking at, and getting those higher percentages, and also getting something that would be more easily distributable and people get the amounts that they're needing. So I would suggest maybe you do, right before you go to bed, just do meditation or prayer upon this, and I think you already have some things right now. I can see it in the things with your birth reading, but also in the things you've said, how these two things are sort of coming together. And I think there's some things you already have, but you're going to get a little bit more awareness of them. So the question is how can you, get this awareness and understanding better of these things you're wanting to accomplish? And I would suggest probably, remember when I was saying the cave and Blue Otter said about, doing prayer, meditation out in the cave and darkness, and stuff like that. And that goes back to the thing you were saying about the mother, the womb and the mother. And if you're in a pyramid, most of these pyramids, if you go look at them, actually they're built on top of a cave.
Yeah.
So Mark,
that's
Mark,
cool.
When is her next Mayan birthday? Because if she's going to go to Creator to ask a question,
that's going to be the
center of night on that day.
Let me look.
And she's going to get an answer. That's
okay,
how it
give
works,
me a second, I'll tell you that. Give me just a second, and I'll find it. It'll take me not too long here.
I mean, you know, I wasn't even asking back on spring solstice of 98. I wasn't even asking. But, you know, Creator told me, hey, 7 years from now, the weather's going to be so bad, it's going to cause havoc all over the planet, and it may even shut down computers all over the planet. You know, sure enough, 7 years later, 2005, that was the beginning of the week of 9-Eek, which is, you know, so you might want to look up the beginning of the week of her Mayan glyph and her next.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's going to be October 23rd, 2014.
Okay, October 23rd. Okay.
Yeah, if you
so these are really
a,
important.
If you do a, what you're going to be doing is if you do a vision quest or search and things on that, and you might want to prepare for it the couple of days before, but be that night of the 23rd, then find a, between now and then, determine a place that might be a cave or a womb or just a really dark room. But set something up, you know, set an intention for that. But you can even do this before that. This will
Carlos,
be powerful then.
Carlos
but leading
Brios,
up to until that point.
Carlos Brios says it's very important to pick the right place. He calls it a quintessence. The right place is as important as the right time.
Yeah. You'll know because you'll have a resonance with the place. You'll have an attunement with it. You'll feel it. And
yeah.
It'll just feel right, and you'll know it. And your spirit will tell you that it's right, too. And then, and you can use this, but before October 23rd even, before you go to sleep at night, just, you know, send an intention to learn more about your Fibonacci sequencing, how to achieve your ratios and such. I think you're close. I think you already have a lot of the pieces that you need. You're just going to need to put them together.
Hey, Charmaine.
So if you ask, you'll get some guidance.
Charmaine.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you're still with us. I was wondering whether you ate a brownie before the show.
No brownies.
Or if you're just tired. But yeah, I just wanted. Yeah. And okay, just kidding. So.
You're doing great. She's on a roll.
Oh yeah, she sounded like she's getting a little tired there, and we're out of time, so we probably ought to think about moving on. But hey, listen,
I just gotta say,
this is your show.
It's
you know,
amazing.
You come back as often as you want to, and bring other people.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Well, folks, we appreciate. Appreciate everybody that's been with us tonight, and as the President of the United States told Chief Dan George, may you endeavor to persevere. I thought that was somewhere. May you endeavor to persevere. Yeah, right. But yeah, I'm looking around. Oh, my gosh. I get, I was just trying to queue up the outro music, and my browser's going crazy, so. Oh, yeah, such is the internet. It's just a wonderful thing. I'm glad it's there, though. It's doing some fun stuff, but we appreciate you there. Now I can type. Okay, and if I can read. There it is. Okay. Well, folks, okay, we're going to roll the outro music. Thanks a lot, Charmaine. And if you can, hey, if you want to line up any Sunday night, you want to come on here, bring somebody else from ONAC or anywhere else on here to talk about this subject, let's do it. You just give me 24 hours notice. Okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, good. I'm going to roll the outro music. Thanks a lot. And I do want to get you in touch at some point with Dr. Charles L. Rogers. He's the fellow that's been healing cancer down in Mexico for the last 30 years doing he started with Wilburn Ferguson's research, and that inspired the movie Medicine Man back in 1992 with Sean Connery. And he's the principal chief of the Cherokee Nation of Mexico. We'd also like to invite you to enroll. And if you're not a Cherokee now, we'd like to have you join our Ani Gilohi priestly clan. And but that goes for out there. Anyway, thanks for being with us, and we'll see y'all when we see you. Bye now.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.